Did you know that ex-partners and lovers can get along? They might even send one another a greeting card. And today's guests have the cards to sell them. We're discussing a new corner of the greeting card industry on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yeah, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting Daddy started today. Mwah. Welcome to Frank Relationships. We are the show specifically tailored for my middle-aged brethren and those that love them. And we promise every listener, especially our brothers, that you will walk away from each week's show with new information, a new perspective, or a new disposition that will help you be a better parent and partner. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. You can also find me on ABC's Good Morning Washington most Friday mornings during the 9 o'clock hour. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get each show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy Goldrank.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fabulous.
The consummate generalist is in the house.
Indeed.
Are we going to switch that up a little bit? You're good there.
I keep telling myself, I've got to re-identify, but okay. I haven't done it.
Okay, so you're good.
I'm great.
All right. We're also joined by today's visiting co-host, Mama Makini Owusu. Greetings, Mama Makini.
Greetings to you. Greetings, everybody.
Who are you and what do you do when you're not guest co-hosting?
Who am I? That's a great question. So I'm an educator. I'll start there. And a parent, a grandparent, an active member of this community. And I do a wide variety of things. But let's just say that one of the things that I do and love is educating adults. So in a couple of areas, I'm right now doing rites of passage for women. And relationships is something that we have to talk about all the time. We have to kind of change our perspective. Women have to, a little bit, I think. I've done rites of passage for adolescents for over 20-some years with the Onkobia Society here in D.C. Mm-hmm. So I kind of branched out, still doing that, but branched out to include the adult women. And that's very rewarding. And I also do something that seems very, very different. And maybe it is. And I work in New York through care coordination, patient-centered healthcare, doing some training there with healthcare workers. So like I said, nice. A wide variety.
And if someone wanted to get in touch with you regarding maybe rites of passage or any of the stuff you just mentioned, do you have you want an email address? On anything you want to share?
I do have an email address.
Hit it.
AmankwaServices@gmail.com. Amankwa is AmankwA.
Uh-huh. All right.
Services@gmail.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Nice. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I who do you think you're going to get along better with today?
You
think
what?
It's going to be me what? Or Nancy?
Mama McKinney,
is that a fair question?
Don't get caught up with this
guy. I don't think that's a fair question.
Don't get caught up with him. He is a troublemaker.
I've known you for a long time, yeah.
That ought to be. That answers the question right there.
Okay.
As is the case this week with Mama McKinney, there's a visiting guest co-host chair available each week here in the studio. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area or traveling to the D.C. area and want to join us in the studio on a given Thursday morning, email me at frank@franklove.com and let me know. In this ever-changing world where the divorce rate is 50% and out-of-wedlock births are nearly 40%, there's a need for cards that express the thoughts and point of views of those who reluctantly find themselves in unfortunate but sometimes necessary circumstances. Today's guests are the proprietors that are committed to restoring, building, and maintaining relationships by bridging the communication between people that are not together but never forgotten. So if you, like me, want to know how to run a business with your ex-partner, how to honor and nurture the many extended relationships that can spring from one romance, and how to create an emotionally safe space for a new relationship to bloom while an old one lives on, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with the owners of Cards for Exes, Kenny and Wanda Bass. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Thank you. Very good. You did that very well, Frank. I'm really impressed with that introduction. Thank you.
I try to be impressive every once in a while.
Don't amp him up. It's early. Oh, my goodness.
Kenny and Wanda, before we get too deep into the interview, we got to check in to see what's new in the world of relationships with the team. And I invite you all to weigh in. I hear you guys have opinions, so feel free to share. Nancy, you got anything in the news?
Frank, there are plenty of things in the news. And of course, I have something, but I would love this morning to defer to you.
Deference.
Oh, yeah.
That is the word for the day. You know, along today's show, we've discussed deference. We're signing off. This is Frank Love. I love it.
All right. I got something.
I'm listening.
So my question is, when you meet somebody new, if you meet somebody new through friends, do you have more or less confidence in the potential success of the new relationship?
Well, what's success mean?
Oh, good question.
How you define success?
What if longevity in the relationship?
Does that mean a year, 5 years, 10
no.
years? Is a one year relationship more successful than a 10 year relationship?
Mama McKinney.
Okay, wow.
Mama McKinney.
Yes.
I acknowledged in a prior show that I am always in life partner mode. So let's get it clear, Frank. This is about, if I meet this person, is he Mr. Right? Is he Mr. Right or is he Mr. Right now?
So
the question is he Mr. Right? So I'm always in this question, is he Mr. Right?
Okay, I think that she explained it, right or
so,
right now.
If I'm saying, does meeting someone through friends give you more or less confidence in the potential success of the new relationship, I'm saying, is meeting someone through friends give you that sense that this relationship has... what do I want to call it? You done got me all like flustered now.
I haven't gotten an answer to my question.
Wanda and Kenny, let me apologize. Okay. All I'm saying is, do you believe that the relationship has a greater chance of becoming a life partnership because you met this person through people you already know, love, and trust?
All I'm asking is someone that you're with for 1 year more or less of a life partner than someone that you're with for 5 years? And is someone that you're with for 5 years more or less a life partner than someone that you're with till you die or they die?
No. What qualifies?
What do you mean, no? You can't say no.
No. I'm trying to clarify what I'm saying.
And we have started.
Well, yes. What I'm saying is that it's the intention. So it's not, you only know that person's going to be with you a year, 5 years, or a lifetime after a year, 5 years, or a lifetime. You don't know when you start out that, oh, I'm giving this guy 365. You know my game on that, too.
Okay.
Okay, to me, lifetime means a lifetime until one of you is no longer
on
this physical plane. That's what it means to me. that lifetime thing. But to answer your question, may I answer your question?
Yes, please.
To answer your question.
I'm saying that the question hasn't been posed in a way that's answerable, but
it
I
is
will
answerable.
Step back.
Wait a minute. You. Wanda and Kenny, feel free to jump in. Frank is about to leave the room.
The question, I think someone would go into a relationship feeling more confident, being that it's a friend and the friend knows each person. So you're just not going off of a whim or just out of the blue, just meeting somebody and going out with them. So you figure, well, this person knows me, they know them, so you might feel more confident that you might be a better match, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yep, and that's exactly where I was going, that you would be a better match. Again, if it's a friend, someone who really knows both of you well, who knows you well, who knows what you like, who knows your characteristics, no matter what they are, I would agree that you would feel a little more confident. It doesn't mean that you'll say, oh, yeah, definitely, this is going to work. You just have more confidence in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what part do you have more confidence in? Do you have more confidence in that it would be a good first date, or it would be a good, what, that they would span
long-term
a good
match.
Three?
Yeah, more confidence in the possibility that this is more than just today or tonight. More confidence in the possibility. It's still a possibility.
Uh-huh. It's a possibility.
That it will or won't work.
All right. What you got, Wanda?
In my opinion, I don't feel confident in that at all, unless that person, I can see that they had a marriage or a relationship that actually demonstrated something greater than 50 plus years or whatever. So it would just be a good date for that day for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think that you have to look into what a good relationship need, and you really don't know that person. And I don't think anybody knows anybody behind closed doors.
Which is a great entree into discussing something that you just said, Wanda, in a few sentences prior, about the 50 plus years. You know, I really believe that we don't know anybody's relationship except our own.
I agree.
Like, nobody.
And you might not know that one.
And you're working your way through
that.
Right. Yes. My grandmother said, my grandparents were married for 37 and a half years before my grandfather made his transition.
Mm-hmm.
So my
transition to what? Did he kind of like come
passed.
Out the closet?
Okay.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Reel it in, Gold Ring. Reel it in. You can do this, girl. Frank. In layman's terms, he died.
Okay. All right.
I gotta keep it simple.
I gotta
for this
ask.
Guy, right?
The people wanna know.
is he the voice of the people, right? Okay, so she would say, I was married to him for 37 and a half years and I still didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt in so many ways she did know him. And yet, even after 37 and a half years of marriage, there was still an element of surprise there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of good, actually.
Oh, it definitely.
But that's a good thing. It sort of keeps you on your toes.
Absolutely.
You never
absolutely.
Get comfortable in that situation,
absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
And so to kind of to finish my thought that I was trying to get out before Nancy cut me off or interjected her own family story.
It was a good one. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I was saying that even with someone with 50 plus years. So, Wanda, you were saying, unless the person has or the couple has 50 plus years, it's probably best not to even think that they're
qualified.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, even if they do have 50 plus years, you don't know what's going on in their relationship. And I am one to say, be in your relationship. And that's the only one you can truly be in. What you see, what you think you see in another relationship, you don't No, it's no. Don't compare. Don't idolize. Don't even think you want to be like them. I just don't think it's. I don't think it's the thing to do. Come on, somebody.
I totally agree with you, Frank. I agree with that. You're absolutely correct. Because I did make a statement that you never know what's going on behind closed doors.
Right. Yes.
I feel that that you can admire someone's relationship. Might not idolize it, mm-hmm. but you can admire it for what it is, for what it seems to be on the surface. If you see a couple that every time they come around, they seem to be, you know, happy and they're both working and they look like they're striving for a certain goal, you know, their family seems intact. I think you can admire a relationship and not idolize it to saying that, you know, I want to be just like them, but just be happy for them and admire what they have together.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's how
I think that's really important because I think we have a hard time being happy for someone else.
Yeah.
Appreciating mm-hmm. what they have and saying, wow, you all are doing really well. We then always want to go to that next step of saying, I want what they have. But mm-hmm. as you said, as we've all said, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what it takes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
I say keep the admiration and go for the I'm happy if you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's, okay, I think
that's
we can agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we got to find something to disagree about.
Well, okay,
give us another
issue. You would really
let's
like
go
to have
another
that kind
issue,
of discussion.
So we have Mama McKinney because he will...
I've seen some couples that they end up divorcing. I'll be like, man, they seem really happy.
Right.
What happened with that? You know,
right.
like, I think we all probably seen that. Like, I've never seen it coming. And you think they were so happy, and then, like, a month later, like, oh, yeah, Jessica and Darren, they're getting divorced. You'd be like, what?
Right.
Well, you
so,
wanna...
I agree with Frank. You never know what's going behind. So that's why, I agree with him not to idolize, but maybe to just admire what somebody have on, you know, what they have on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else? Mm-hmm. Even talking with people.
Good insight, Frank.
Thank you. Okay, let's roll. Wrap it.
Nah.
Okay, we got more.
Yes, we always have more, always more. But even when talking with people like that who appear to be happy in public and, you know, the relationship is wonderful, I've always found it interesting to actually, well, for those I know well, find out what happened. I really like to talk to people to find out exactly what happened. And it gives you a sense that people put on airs, put on a face, whatever you want to call that fake thing for the public while other things are imploding. Because we aren't always able to talk to each other. Communication is so important.
Right.
So we don't talk to each other. We haven't figured out how to talk about that thing that is eating away at us. And all of a sudden there's this explosion. And it's done and it's gone. Mm-hmm. And very often when we see those relationships that we thought were really good and now it's been torn apart, there's a divorce happening. It's something simple. At least it appears to be something simple that could have been discussed to save if it needed to be saved. I see that look, Frank. if it needed to save that relationship. And I'm always thinking about who are you saving it for? Maybe yourselves. Maybe for your children, maybe for your own development. It depends on the people, actually. But still, I find it very interesting that people will fall apart and break up because of something simple that might have been solved.
It was simple at the beginning.
It was simple at the beginning. But you know what happens with the laundry list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can't go back. Can't go back to number one.
Mm.
One of the things about the admiration piece that we were discussing, the name that constantly comes to my mind is Bill Cosby. And it's not current day Bill Cosby where he's dealing with this legal stuff, but the Bill Cosby of the 80s, the Cosby Show.
Right. Oh, and everybody wanted a family like that.
Everybody wanted it. Right. Yes, yes. And I am so vehement in my belief, like, leave that alone. Mm-hmm. You don't know
what's
going on. Right, right. And the families that you think are the Cosby Shows, you don't. Just leave that. I mean, have your own. Have your own story, your own family. Okay, Jeff, what you got?
I was just going to say, what if Claire became Charlie?
Oh, my God.
Because disaster. That changes the dynamic. And
now
it's a little bit more prominent because of reality TV. Mm-hmm. But those things change relationships.
Yeah.
Yes,
and life
do.
Partners,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I won't go off on a tangent because you know I like to do that. But
you do that
but
around
again,
here.
But you never know. You never know.
No, don't.
Children's sexuality can also affect a relationship.
Sure.
Husband and wife.
Yeah. Yes.
And break it up.
And absolutely, because one of the parents could blame the other one for what happened to my son or what happened to our daughter, and there it goes.
Yeah, so back to your original point, and I'll take 20 seconds to speak on this. 1 year or 5 years is a very myopic view of a life partner relationship.
Yeah.
You get into 10, 15, mm-hmm. 20, then you can say this is my life partner because you lived more of your life with them. Shared more of your life and you've made other lives and affected others' lives because you are a couple and life partners. And I can talk about that from experience.
All right. Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
What's your experience, Jeff?
I've been married 32 years.
Okay. 32 years.
32. Wow. All right.
Done.
Perfect.
Would you say she's a life partner?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But I didn't know that. And I didn't know that when we first had kids because all of the dynamics changed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I sort of knew that when we were raising the kids because they were the single most important thing that we had in common and pretty much probably still are. Mm-hmm. But our kids are out of the house now. Mm-hmm. So we're back to being that couple again. And I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know, because I don't have all the additional baggage that I enjoyed. I'm not going to the basketball game. I'm not in the gym. You know, I'm not doing all that stuff that were, you know, the kids' lives I wanted to be a part of, and I was. Now, if they text me once a day, I'm cool. Hey, how's work? Great. Done.
Right.
Mm. You know, I've got other things to think about.
Like hanging out with your wife.
Like hanging out with my wife. Yeah, you know? Right. What are we doing this weekend?
Nice.
So that means you don't have any grandchildren yet?
Not yet.
Okay. That brings another dynamic.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Nice.
And in the spirit of what Jeff just said, I want to, first let me preface by everybody that I'm going to ask this to, the option of pass is there. You can just pass. You don't have to answer. So
thanks, yeah.
It's there. One, two, three,
one,
four.
That Frank is talking to you.
There's six of us. There's six of us here. So there's Mama Makini, Nancy, me, Frank. We got Jeff over here. We got Kenny and Wanda. Now, I want each one of us has a relationship story.
Yes. Research question. Are you tallying all of this information you're going to collect? Okay, I'm sorry.
What
am
I going to do with it?
We'll come back.
We each have a relationship story or a relationship status or previous status. I am divorced and married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's next? Nancy, you want to?
I am divorced.
Okay.
And single.
Mama McKinney, you got an answer?
I have an answer. Let me see. I am divorced twice and a widow.
Anybody?
And that means I'm single.
Kenny, Wanda?
I'm divorced and single.
Okay.
I'm divorced and married. Be married.
And Jeff?
I'm married and single depending on the bar.
That's what 32 years will get you. Flexibility.
I'm just joking.
I'm glad you said you were joking.
Just joking.
Mama McKinney was getting ready to go straight into you. This has become a healing.
So
I'm married but not dead.
Good.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so 5 out of 6 of us have divorce in our status. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Which can, you know, one of the things we've been talking about, Nancy, is getting the guy who wrote the book, Is Marriage for White People, on this show.
Yes.
That's funny, because Jeff's the only white guy out of the six of us.
Whoa.
He's still married.
Hey, right. And he's not just still married, not divorced.
He's not divorced.
So that's we may come back to this.
We need to get him in here.
It's a secret dynamic that has to do with pigment.
Right.
Too much melanin and somebody's floating off. Okay. All right.
Whoa, we've been all over the place, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, you tend to do that.
Okay. Kenny and Wanda, you're up. First question, what advice would you all give a 25-year-old couple with a baby due in 2 months?
Mm.
You got anything on that?
Wow.
Go ahead, Wanda, you can answer that one.
A couple with a 25-year-old couple with a baby due in 2 months, that's a hard question to answer.
Are they married or just together?
All you know is what you know.
Well, I would definitely say that because they have a baby, they're definitely going to need counseling. That's what I'm definitely going to say, because a lot of times a lot of our marriages or our relationships don't work because, you know, for me, preferably I can say I had a lack of spiritual guidance, and there was a lot of ignorance there, and there was a lot of unpreparedness then. And so I really would suggest that they seek counseling in that situation, because now they're bringing in a new life. And their life and their circumstances, their situation is going to affect that new life.
It absolutely will. Kenny, you got anything you want to add?
I would just say, you know, they need to communicate what they want together. You know, it's not just them two now. They're going to be bringing a life into the world. So they need to communicate about what each of them, what they want, and come to grips and be on the same page, because, you know, it can affect not only their lives, but it can affect the child's lives. So they really need to sit down and communicate and see where they want to go with this.
How old were you two when you got married?
Oh, my God. We were young. When me and Kenny got, we were together over a 15-year period when we were very young, but we got married in our 20s. But again, still, there was a lot of ignorance, unpreparedness there. Yeah.
So what's your all story?
What do you mean? What's our
cards
story?
For exes.
How'd
this come about? What is it, and how'd it come about?
Well, there was a time when Father's Day or, you know, my ex-husband's birthday came around, and I would go to the stores, and I noticed that there was not a category.
Now, when you say your
circumstance, we were divorced.
When you say your ex-husband, you're referencing Kenny, correct?
I'm referencing Kenny.
All right.
Yeah, there were only cards for husband, lover, friend, you know, et cetera, the usual traditional Hallmark or American greeting card. However, there weren't any cards for the father of my children that expressed words that conveyed our current situation. So I would buy like a general card, and I would write something inside that that expressed what I really wanted to say to Ken.
And what was that? What did you want to say?
A lot of times what I wanted, the first thing that I wanted to say was, forgive me. You know, so a lot of cards, I would say the first card that I ever wrote to him was called The Calm After the Storm. And that card, it sort of talked about forgiveness, which is a great need, because I think that asking for forgiveness is like a noble act. Okay, it's an acknowledgement that you hurt someone, and it makes it easier for the forgiver to forgive. It sort of takes that burden away. But that was just the first step, because I believe that if you really want to be forgiven by that person that you hurt, just apologizing wasn't enough. You know, you have to right that wrong, and sometimes you may not be able to undo that unfortunate circumstance, but making amends counts to me. And once I got my place, once I got myself in the place where I could forgive myself, evaluate me, then I went on a journey to writing cards to Kenny over, I think it was like a 4-year period.
And so this was 4 years post relationship, or that you sent the first card? How long after the divorce did it take for you to send that card, that first one?
For me, it took about, like, I would say, not even a year for me.
Okay.
Not even a year for me. I'm a very, very forgiving person, and I don't like to hold on to a lot of garbage. But my process is different from everybody else's process.
Of course.
You know, divorce is it's traumatic. It's like, you know, it's well known that grieving, it has its stages. You know, you love someone, or you lost something dear to you. You go through that denial, that bargaining, that anger, that depression, but you finally come to acceptance. And that was the key for me, by the grace of God. You know, so then I was able to walk through, you know, the forgiveness, and it was a gift to me because it gave me that freedom
and
while healing my wounds and able to attend to Kenny's feelings.
Powerful. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
That's very, very powerful. And it is so very, very important. One of the things I've learned while doing this training for patient-centered care, it's to get more information about chronic illnesses. And so many chronic illnesses are brought about by stress, and holding on to feelings, holding on to this stuff is stressful. And it causes so many of the diseases that we hear about and we take for granted, all of the little things that impact it, that affect it. And so I'm sitting here listening to you, and I don't know what your process was, but that self-reflection is just such a powerful thing that allows you to, I don't think we can even say the release that happens exactly, how far reaching that release is. But this is really very, very powerful. How you got to this is very, very powerful.
When you sit in your peaceful place, and I guess your humble place, did you want co-forgiveness? Meaning, did you want to forgive him also? And so, well, let me make sure. You were asking him for forgiveness. Were you doing so with the intention of getting forgiveness also, or were you just asking for forgiveness, period? You weren't expecting anything in return.
I had to go into asking for forgiveness with nothing in return. Mm-hmm. I left that on the altar of God.
Important. Mm.
Because sometimes you don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I knew what I was responsible for, so I had to be accountable for that.
Okay.
So, Kenny, what was your side? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Kenny, what's your side of all of that? How did you receive that?
Well, my process was a little different. I'm the one that was holding on to anger and hurt for quite some time. It was like 4 years, and she was like, "You still mad at me?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm still mad," you know. Mm-hmm. And around 4 years or so, I guess I kind of start letting some things go because she started to express how sorry she was about some things. I said I was sorry about some things, and that kind of, and her kindness started breaking my anger down and my hurt. It just started just beating at me and just pulling away the anger and hostility that I have for her. And after a while, I just kind of let it go because she validated my feelings about what I was going through. Mm-hmm. So I was able to say, okay, she says she's sorry, you know, so I can like kind of let go of some of this hurt now. So okay. When she used to write me cards, you know, like I wouldn't give her a card for a while. Like I wouldn't give her Mother's Day, Father's Day. I mean, not Father's Day, but Mother's Day or birthday, anything for a while because I was just holding on to things. And then after a while, you know, I was like, you know, starting to let some of the anger go. And I would go to the store and I would take my kids, you know, to get a birthday card, a Mother's Day card. And I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking. I'd be like, you know what? She is the mother of my children. You know, we have something special. I could at least get a Mother's Day card. And that's when I would go, you know, and try to look and find something. I was like, man, this is terrible. I can't even find that for her. Mm-hmm. So I used to do what she was doing, and I used to, like, pick out, like, a general card or whatever, and then I would write something like, I know it didn't work out between us, but, you know, you're doing a great job with the kids, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate the job you're doing with the kids, and thank you. And so I used to write things like that in there. And then eventually, you know, some time had passed and, you know, I would go for another birthday or Mother's Day. I'm like, man, this is crazy. There's nothing out there like that. And then something hit me one day and, you know, I was at work and X-Cars just popped up because I was like, man, this has got to be something out, you know, something other people need in the world. I mean, it just can't be me just going through a situation like this. And that's kind of how we came up with it. And I brought it to her attention, like, yo, we need to start a business because, you know, I'm always doing different business ventures and everything like that. So anytime some type of idea come up, I'll chase it,
nice.
You know. And I thought this was, like, a really great and unique idea that did not exist before we came
never
up
existed.
With.
Right. Never existed.
And so
but look at the power in that, though. You see what Ken just said? I'm just going to interject in there. I'm sorry, Ken.
Please.
But I want to interject that the power of validating somebody else's feelings. Mm-hmm. Look what God gave birth to. X-Card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So what was the process of the company coming together? You got the idea. You've had the conversation. Now what?
Now, basically what I, you know, like, I'm sort of like a businessman. Not very successful, you know, I'm not like a Bill Gates or anything, but I dabble in real estate, you know, and I do other things like that. So I just took it step by step. First we had to, you know, write cards, you know, get some writings out there. And then the next step was like, okay, now we got to get, you know, design the cards. Mm-hmm. Got to get, you know, software design the cards. So it's like there's multiple steps to, you know, to get the company where it's at today. I mean, I came up with the name X-Card. I thought that was the greatest name in the world for a company like this. It was catchy, and it just fit, you know, fit the product.
And when you
I knew that if anyone else came afterwards with a copycat that came afterwards, that I really don't see another name that could outweigh the name that we have for this particular product. So I had registered, registered the name as a trademark, registered trademark, and you know, I just took steps like that. And then 2009, they viewed at the National Stationery Show.
Okay. Nice. Oh,
and again, nice. That name is Card for X's. How
X Cards. The X-Cards
for X-Relationships, not together but never forgotten.
Right.
Our website is www.cards4x.com.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
Got
there
it.
You go.
How you said to where the company is now. How are sales? How is business?
Business is good. Like, we're still developing, but we're making some major gains. We just had a lot of media exposure. Essence.com, Huffington Post, Chicago Tribune. I mean, we have been all over the country, all over the world, in different media aspects. And since then, we've been getting a large increase in sales. Recently, over the past year, we got into a major retail store. I don't know if you have ShopRite out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you do? Oh. So we're in ShopRite over here in Jersey, and we're in negotiations of getting into more ShopRite. So we're moving, and you know, some people that have greeting card companies, you want to, you know, there's thousands of little greeting card companies out there in the world, and they can't really get any traction because Hallmark and American Greetings have it locked up. Like, they have contracts with these stores that say that you can't bring another greeting card company into our store because they're a competitor. But what's unique about our company, and I thrive on uniqueness in everything I do, is that because our company is so unique and there's never been a market for this, and no other company does this, Hallmark, American Greek does this.
Yeah, but they may catch on.
I'm able to get into those major stores because I don't conflict with the contract of those the store and like the Hallmark, American Greek. So I'm able to come in because they have their market and I have my market.
And what do you?
That's what's great about our company.
If it catches, you know, they will create a brand, a Hallmark brand of X cards or something like that.
Yes.
You prepared?
That's what we're trying to push it and really get it out there because we want to be known as the original card for your ex.
We are the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with the proprietors of X Cards, Kenny and Wanda Bass. They're committed to restoring, building, and maintaining relationships by bridging the communication between people that are not together but never forgotten. What are you all up to, and how can we find you?
You're definitely going to find us at www.cards4x.com. You can also find us in selective ShopRite stores.
We were going into a very interesting place in the interview, and one of the things that you were talking about was kind of the anatomy of your coming to grips or to being at peace with breaking up and being, I guess, good with each other. And one of the issues that a lot of couples wrestle with in terms of not being able to be okay with each other are the circumstances around their breakup. Everybody thinks their scorn or their issue is unique and worse than anybody's who's gotten over that.
Right.
I open the floor. Does anybody want to do you guys want to throw out kind of what some of the issues that you worked through or what you may attribute your breakup to. And I say this from a place of really connecting with the audience, because mm-hmm. when people hear stories of triumph and getting over our stuff, it can inspire them to do the same. If, you know, it's one thing to just say we broke up, we weren't getting along, but it's another to really go into
the nitty gritty
mm-hmm. of what you were working with, and it helps people to get over their own.
Right.
So I mean, I don't know if you guys want to go there, but the floor is open.
Juan, do you want to go there?
Well then,
I like that question.
I'm going to pass on that. I'm the type of person that I think that everybody has some sort of similarities in their breakup. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, whether it be through extramarital affair or finances, or sometimes the children changing, the scene that you weren't prepared for or whatever. But I don't like to indulge on those particular things. I'm kind of like, I think that that's for the ears of those individuals that come to me in private, and I feel that, you know what I mean?
Like, you have the level of relationship that would merit that conversation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that when people are actually really ready to forgive, and I mean, they want to be mature mm-hmm. about the whole process of everything, you know, that it's going to come to me in that way without me actually having to speak to somebody. It's like casting your pearls to somebody, mm-hmm. and they're not ever really able to receive it in such mm-hmm. a mature way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you're kind of like putting your business out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to trample on that with no true understanding.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
it makes total sense. That makes perfect sense. It makes total sense. And I can, yeah, as I'm listening to you, Wanda, I'm thinking, you know what? At the end of the day, mm-hmm. there are only a finite number of stories. They're just told mm-hmm. in an infinite number of ways.
Oh, very true.
So, so then I get to come back next week, y'all. I keep my job one sentence at a time.
I brought her to the show. That's right.
So go ahead, Kenny.
Well, one thing I always say that our particular product is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It depends on your situation at hand. It depends on what happened in the past with your relationship. Because I wouldn't send an ex card to every ex that I have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it depends on maybe what they did or what you did. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might can't come to grips to be cordial with that person again, because they might have just did you so dirty that you like, I don't want to have anything to do with them again. But maybe they might want to send you an S-card saying that they're sorry or whatever. So it depends on the situation. In my situation, I was saying that, you know, we went through some bad things, but I was saying that at least we could be cordial. Mm-hmm. Because we have children together.
Right.
We still have, like, I'm all about business, and I look at my children as a business, because anyone that goes into business together wants that business to be successful. Mm-hmm. And me and Wanda, we wanted our kids to be successful. So I wanted our kids to grow up in a positive and peaceful environment so they could focus on themselves.
Right.
So I got over my ego and my pride. I let go whatever had happened in the past and say, okay, forget about that. I'm going to deal with what at hand, what we're going through now, the present. Mm-hmm. And I just let all the other things go and say, hey, we got to raise these children together. We got to be on the same page with them. We got to mold and bring them up in a way that they're going to have a good mind and a good head on their shoulders, and they're going to be successful individuals. So it depends. You know, if you have children, I think that's how most people should be. If you don't have children, you may not send an ex card. You may just go your separate ways and just move on. Or you may send one, because we have some that say, hey, you know, I'm sorry about what happened, but it's glad, you know, we could come back around and be friends again. Mm-hmm. So you know, it depends on what happened in your life, basically. That's all.
Because co-parenting, it may not require a friendship right away, but it does require cooperation in order for your children to grow in a socially healthy environment. So I just add that to what Ken is just saying, you know. It's not about us. It's about them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the objective between him and I. I mean, which was one of the cards that he actually wrote. It's not about us. We have something between us that's more important than the way we're feeling towards each other, our children. That's one of his cards he wrote. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that's really very important, to have that thing that is greater than either of you, so that you
Absolutely.
Can come together. And that's what children are. And just generally, people have to get over themselves, is what I
think.
You just have to get over yourself, because it's that the I is not as important as you think it is. It's the we that really counts.
Absolutely. And my greatest pet peeve is choose to forgive, because when people hurt or offend you, you can choose to respond either with anger that will harm you and your children,
exactly.
or you can choose to walk through that forgiveness that I believe God calls us all to pursue.
True.
You have to work to kind of sort of separate that emotional response that, you know, your ex, you know, reactions are, and you have to seek solutions, not retaliation.
Powerful.
So that is powerful.
You know,
Any ingredients that make friendship and partnership possible between the two of you all on a day-to-day running a company basis?
I mean, it was a time when Wanda would say, "We're going to be friends." I'm like, "I ain't going to never be your friend." and I meant that at the time.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like, I've said a lot of things that, oh, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. And I, over the years, that's like, damn, I did it. I never believe this happened.
I have insurance for people like you.
And,
reminds me of the commercial. Right. I'll never have a house in the suburbs.
So, as far as being friends and running a partnership, like, me and Wanda's been in partnership since we had children.
Exactly.
So it didn't really change as far as being a partnership in business, because we've been dealing with each other for years and years, because we have children to deal with each other. So it wasn't nothing new to okay, now our baby is this greeting card company. We got to raise this baby, this other baby now, because we don't raise babies together.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes hand in hand. So it wasn't so new for us, because we knew each other already. We dealt with each other. We argue with each other. We compromise with each other. So this was just another kid that we're bringing up. So for us, it wasn't nothing, you know, really.
That's a great metaphor for the business.
Try to, you know, make work.
You all were together for, what, 12, 13 years before getting married? And were married for 3 years. What changed from, I guess you can call it, dating to marriage? How did that, what changed?
Well, I'm going to just tell Wanda. No, I'm scared.
right. We was going to edit that out. If Wanda says she's not going there, we're not going there.
You want to keep that baby alive, Kenny.
That's right.
And you want to stay alive, too.
Say this. Nothing, in those 3 years, nothing really changed. We kind of just started going in separate ways. Like, we kind of started wanting different things out of life, and it wasn't coming together. So we started kind of going opposite directions. It wasn't like any infidelity involved or anything like that, but we kind of started wanting different things out of life after we got married. And that kind of was what helped, you know, our demise as far as our marriage, you know, us getting divorced.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, where we promise every listener, especially our brothers, that you'll walk away from each week's show with new information, new perspective, or new dispositions that will help you be a better parent and or partner. You said that we've talked about the content of your cards, but there's also a card that's pretty funny. You got one where the person opens it, and there's a middle finger that pops up.
Something for everyone.
For everybody.
Well, that's the sarcastic line that Kenny created. And basically, because that's where some people are consciously, Frank. You know, like he said, you might not want to get back with your ex, but maybe you have children. Mm. And at the same point, you have to, it just opens up a lot, an aspect of a dialogue to begin, some sort of laughter or whatever, because you knew you shouldn't have been with that person anyway. Mm-hmm. But a baby came out of that. You know what I'm saying? So we did that to create a line for people that don't want to get back, but can find some humor in it and sort of work together in raising their children. And actually, we have a lot of people buying those cards because that's consciously where they are right now.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know what I mean?
So for those people, it may not be really a joke.
Right. When I saw it, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm thinking about laughing at it. And then I'm also thinking about somebody looking at it going, oh, I have to get back at you. What? You said that's anger, you know. Buy
folks,
the card and send it back.
It's one of their top-selling cards.
Oh, my God.
I sold a lot of those cards, actually. Barbara didn't want me to she didn't want to do that line at first. And I wanted to do that line because...
It's real.
You know, it's real.
Yes.
That's usually where a lot of people want things that they really want to say to the other person or whatever. And it was funny is that we never talk about the sarcastic humor line. Like when we go to shows or anything like that, we always talk about the positive cards and everything. And people, and I have somebody like just step back and put their hands on the hip. They're like, you ain't got no card to say, like, I hate you or I such and such you. You ain't got no cards like that. I'll be like, actually, I do.
Just waiting for the question.
Not in the aspect of hate. That's a strong word.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. They don't want the lovey-dovey cards. And
the middle finger is something, Nancy, that he wanted to do to me.
Right. Okay. I love it. But guess what?
Basically, I'm just saying, we got something for everybody.
Yes. What did you say earlier?
And a lot of people ask for those cards, and they be cracking up when they see them. Yeah. They're like, well, whether they have the nerve to send them or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another thing. But they, you know, they get... you know, some enjoyment out of reading those and thinking the possibility of them actually sending it to someone and the reaction of the other person, at least.
Believe me, we get a lot of letters and feedback and say, hey, I haven't talked to him in over 20 years, but we started laughing and we're conversating now and actually came back home and started talking with the kids and he's around helping.
See that? That's great. You know what that speaks to? Earlier, Wanda, you mentioned the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That card acknowledges a stage of grief.
Yes, it does.
That's
yes, it does.
The bottom line.
It does.
And I think it's perfect that you have it in the line.
Nancy.
Yes.
Thank you. Nancy. Oh, you're welcome. Yes, Frank. Yes, yes.
We got a little something from Miko this week.
Oh, cool.
You ready for some financial wisdom?
Always.
Miko, take it away.
Do you justify poor spending decisions? Talk yourself into spending when you can't afford it? Or ignore your budget with faulty reasoning? Here are a few excuses that we use to justify a lack of adherence to our budget. 1. I deserve it. We convince ourselves that we deserve things that we can't afford because we work hard. Of course we deserve nice things, but more importantly, we deserve the peace of mind and financial stability that comes with making financially sound decisions. Number 2. Oh, I'll pay for it later. Oftentimes, we spend money before we get it. We charge stuff on our credit cards or borrow from friends because we are anticipating income. We reason that we'll pay off the debt later. Later, when the money comes, we may want to buy something else then too. So the money tends to never catch up with the debt. 3. Debt is the American way. Yes, it is. While all debt is not bad, it does not mean we have to join the ranks of so many Americans who are drowning in debt. And finally, 4, I need it. What we generally mean is I really want it. What happens if we don't buy that coveted item or don't go on that expensive vacation? Not only will we survive, but now we can take the time to responsibly plan for the items we really want. If you are still struggling with being financially honest with yourself, Miko's Money Matters is here to help. Call us at 202-695-2404. And remember, it's never too late to rescue your financial future.
Thanks, Miko. You all have two sons. What do they think of your business?
They are excited. Well, yeah, I just started to Ken.
What'd you say?
She didn't say nothing, Kenny. It's all good.
Our sons are very excited about it. They think it's very mature, and it, you know, it actually really helps them to see a bigger picture when people break up.
How old are they?
Go through these things. You know what I'm saying? It teaches them and it grounds them, and you know what to expect and how they can react. Actually respond, I should say.
How old are they?
22 and 15 years of age.
Oh, so they got a little age on them.
Yeah, they're coming into the relationship dynamic.
Mm. And how long have you all been apart?
It's been a while now. Since 2002.
Okay.
2002.
So right after your youngest was born, not long after that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So
you see why there was a need.
Yeah, and he's kind of grown up in the spirit of healing and forgiveness. That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's grown up in different phases.
But that's what I said. In that healing process, he's grown up in a healing process. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that
he'll be 15,
a tremendous aspect of his development and what he brings to relationships as he gets older. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We want to be an example for our children, because if they, you know, grow up and they get married and they get divorced, they have us as an example to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to, you know, be like maybe other couples and fuss and fight and argue from the children. Like, they have an example of me and their mom that they can say, hey, you know, we can still get along, you know, although we have children together. Because, you know, a lot of children, you know, they copy what they see, you know, or emulate what they see. So, you know, they see us as positive role models. So they can emulate the same thing if it unfortunately happens to them.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with the proprietors of X Cards, Kenny and Wanda Bass. They're committed to restoring, building, and maintaining relationships by bridging the communication between people that are not together but never forgotten. One more time, would you guys give us your website and let us know that you can find, let us know
where we can find you.
Yeah, that.
Shoot, Kenny.
It's cardsforx.com. That's CARDS, the number 4X.com. And you can order cards online. We'll mail them out to you. Mm-hmm. We're also in ShopRite area. We're ShopRite in Hillside, New Jersey, looking to get more ShopRites and other major retail stores. We're currently in negotiations with, several other stores to try to get me as well. So hopefully, you know, it looks like we're on our way.
What's some feedback that you've received from people who've purchased your cards or received one of your cards?
Well, recently we've been getting a lot of positive feedback through our website. People saying how much.
And Frank, I'm saying United Kingdom, Arizona, California, people from all across the country.
Wow. Wow. Across the world.
Social media thing, yes. Mm. And great feedback. People that have gone through so many feelings. We've never had cards on the market like this, and I had no way to express because there's a breakdown in communication today. We see this due to technology, all the texting. They have their current relationship over over texting, over social media. Mm-hmm. And so this is now a way to communicate those words or say something that you might not be able to because of anger, the blame game, you know? And so, people are just so just happy about it. And they're just giving us all of these great ideas and telling us their stories. And, you know, so it gives us insight on some new additions that we're bringing into play right now.
What would you, if you could, either one of you, or both, if you could suggest a book to our audience, what might that be? And if you want it, you can always play the safe card and you go with the Bible.
That would be Wanda's pick.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, what would be the name of your book, Ken?
I don't know. I don't have much time to read, man. I work like four jobs, man. So I guess I'm going to go with the Bible, I guess, man.
Uh-huh. Sounds like somebody's rubbing off on you. So you're feeling yet.
Exactly.
Not a bad thing.
Wow.
Profound.
See, did I start something
you
here?
You know what? I'm
you started
way
something,
up.
Frank. See, you troublemaker.
Well, yeah.
But it's a good trouble. It's good trouble.
That Facebook
right
out there.
Okay. All right. You got anything to add, Wanda?
I guess I would say the stepping stones to forgiveness, mm-hmm, something like that.
Okay.
You know, and then I would just basically, I guess, go through the formations of the process at that particular point. If I was writing a book, it would be on the process of my life and what I did. But also, I would say, don't take from my experience. I really have to add that in there. I don't want to go from anybody else's experience. I have to step into the Word of God and because it's the Word of God that was confirmed in my heart that brought about that change. I couldn't do it on my own.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I don't
okay
think anybody could, because we're going to fail each time. So I would definitely take those stepping stones from the Word of God. And, you know, because I can talk about my experience all day, but it's not going to help you fight through a wet paper bag. It's going to be based on the standards of the Word.
Cool. You writing that book, Wanda?
I started writing something.
Yeah, okay. I'm serious. Yeah. You have a powerful story to tell. Why not?
We have been talking with the proprietors of X Cards, Kenny and Wanda Bass. They're committed to restoring, building, and maintaining relationships by bridging the communication between people that are not together but never forgotten. Along today's journey, we've discussed forgiveness, raising children when you are no longer together, and we even touched a little bit on whether admiration is appropriate to your relationship or any relationship. I hope you've learned as much as I've had talking with Kenny and Wanda Bass about their company, X Cards. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/relationshipflove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M-R Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there. And if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.